All right, we'll say good morning. So we are picking up now, Mirz Hashem, in Perek Yutes. Perek Yutes. So remember again, we're speaking about specifically the concept of kavod. The concept ultimately, again, of kavod. Remember, we're trying to become chassidim, that's our goal. So we're speaking about the concept of kavod, of honor, when it comes to the performance of mitzvos. The performance of mitzvos.
110.
Thank you. Good. I stopped early. Right, we're picking up Va'amru Od. Va'ulam? I have Va'amru Od B'Sifri. Yeah, good. Va'amru Od B'Sifri, let's see where I end. Seder, the common Dvarim. All right, perfect, good. So you just tell me where to stop.
365 in English.
All right, good. So here we go. So Va'amru Od B'Sifri. So we'll say, where do we see this concept? Ultimately, page 111. Again, I will say, I stopped the paragraph early from where we're supposed to start today. So the Gemara says, "Kvar matzanu the kind of hevel." Right? We find by kind and hevel as well. Hevel hevi mi bechoros sonom mechal behem. Hevel brought again from the nicest parts of his carbon. Literally again, mechel mechoros sonor from the firstborn of his sheep, mechel bein the kain min apsolos pri adama. Kain himself brought ultimately from the psolos, from right the inferior parts of that which grew from the ground. Kipirushim zechon of the bracha umma olavahem. So we'll say what happened? Vayisha Hashem el hevel ve'el minchaso ve'el kain ve'el minchaso lo shah. Hashem turned to Hevel and to his carbon, but he did not pay any attention ultimately to Cain and his carbon. I will say, what's the incredible chiddush in that? The incredible chiddush in that, I will say, is that, remember, whose idea was it to bring a carbon? It was Cain's idea. Right? Remember again, Hevel was just copying his older brother. That wasn't Hevel's idea. Yet amazingly enough, Hevel is the one who understood the concept of Heder Mitzvah, who understood that if you're going to do something, Do it right. So it was interesting. It was Cain's idea. But I was like, just so you understand, what was Cain's logic? Right? It's like to say, so what do you think? Cain was cheap? I was like, just so you understand, like, there are 4 human beings in the world, right? There's plenty to go around, right? In other words, there's no shortage of anything. Maybe they're sick, right? It's true that Cain and Hevel both fall with twin sisters, right? So the mice again, so there are six people in the world, there's plenty of stuff. So what do you mean Cain is cheap? Cain is not cheap. So what's the pshat? Cain said to himself, it's not for God. God doesn't need this. So again, I want to show that I'm being makya, I'm recognizing the Bari Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Cain figures, Hashem doesn't need the nicest stuff. Hevel understands, you're right, God doesn't need it, but I need it. Because by giving the nicest, that's how I show ultimately that this is something that is incredibly important to me. That this is something that is meaningful. Va'omer, va'aru nochal v'yish be'edro zachar, v'noder v'zaveach, mashchas la'ashem, ki melech gadol ani. So we'll say, so literally translated over here, that if a person goes ahead and tries to offer a blemished animal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are you doing? Ki melech gadol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a great king. V'kama dvar misinu zichron lebracha, shalei mitzos b'zuyas aleinu. And we'll say, there are many things we have in halacha that literally mitzos should not be treated in a degraded or depreciated fashion. Kvar amru, kala oches sefer Torah arum, whoever literally again goes ahead and holds a sefer Torah without a covering, nikbar arum, is buried unclothed, mipnei bizui ha-mitzvah. So we'll say, the idea over here is, now this is actually something a little bit different, this is talking about over here, a person who touches a sefer Torah without the cover. So a person who touches a sefer Torah without the cover, ultimately again is buried unclothed as well. But if the Gemara says, unclothed from that mitzvah, what's the idea? That here I'm learning Torah, whatever it is that I'm doing. But if I treat the Torah, the scroll itself, in a degraded fashion, then the mitzvah, although I'm doing the mitzvah becomes absolutely meaningless. Or in other words, in life, it's not just what you do, but it's how you do it that matters. And that's the whole idea of kavod when it comes to mitzvahs. It's not just about doing the mitzvah. It's about how I do the mitzvah that really broadcasts where I am, where I'm holding, and what the nature of my relationship with Hashem is. He goes on, so we'll say, one of the paradigmatic examples of this, of Hidr Mitzvah, is Bikurim. is Bikurim. The bringing of the first year, we'll say it's one of the most beautiful Mishnayos in Bikurim. Shekach Shaninu, Hashar Holech Lifnei. We'll say the Mishnah over here, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Gimel, Masechus Bikurim, is describing how the Bikurim procession would take place in Yerushalayim itself. What would they do? Hashar Holech Lifneim, the kind of Mitzupazav, they would have an axe, right? An axe walking in front of the procession. And the ox's horns were covered in gold ribbons. And literally, again, a crown of olive branches on its head. The rich people would bring their bikurim in gold baskets. And ultimately, the poor in baskets of reeds. But I will say, but the idea is everyone did something beautiful. Everyone found a way to beautify the mitzvah in accordance with their financial station. Ocham shalosh midos b'bikurim. There are three different ways of bringing bikurim. Bikurim, tosefes bikurim, the iter bikurim. Ultimately, I will say there was the core obligation of bikurim. Tosefes bikurim means you added on. You added on. I will say, remember again, you added on other fruit. In other words, bikurim are one of those things that doesn't really have much of a shear. So you added on additional fruits. And iter bikurim, Rabbi say uter bikurim, ultimately, again, it's very actually beautiful, is in the baskets of bikurim, they used to surround the bikurim with other fruit as well. Remember again, bikurim only comes from Shiva Samin, from the seven species of Eretz Yisrael. What they would do is when they would bring up their bikurim in the baskets, they would line the baskets with other types of fruit to make it look beautiful as well. Hari lanu behedjia, kama rai lanu lahosif al gufa shal mitzvah kedil hadra. Rabbi say, so we see explicitly how important hidr mitzvah is, how we're supposed to add on to the core obligation in order to beautify the mitzvah. From here, we'll say from Bikurim and these other examples, we learn that to apply this concept of hiddur to all mitzvahs in the Torah. Va'amru, Rava Rami Puzmiki, Umatzi, this is very beautiful. Rava used to put on special slippers in order to daven. Va'amar, Hikon Likras Elokecha Yisrael. He would say, prepare yourself to meet your God, Klal Yisrael. So we'll say, by the way, this comes the concept, and it's very important, of dressing a certain way when we daven. We'll say, so it's interesting. What's the Hiddur Mitzvah by Tefillah? The Hiddur Mitzvah by Tefillah is being dressed for the occasion. All right, again, a lot of this is societally driven. But I will say, but you have to think to yourself, like, a person shouldn't come dressed for davening any less than you would come dressed to go to a work meeting. That's it. Whatever. So whatever you wear to work, I don't know, maybe you're a business casual, or I don't know, maybe people today looks like are very casual in general. You know, you're even for business meetings. Okay, but however you would go, right, however you would go to a meeting, right, for customers, or that's how you should come, dressed to shul. That's the hiddur mitzvah when it comes to tefillah. Otherwise, you're about to say, what am I doing? Otherwise, it's dressed down for God. But unlike the workplace, which may have casual Fridays, right? For tefillah, it's casual every day. And we'll understand what that does is, so I'm not giving tefillah. In other words, what's the hit that then I'm lacking hiddur? Is the tefillah good? Of course. But lemaisa, the hiddur mitzvah by tefillah ultimately is I'm dressing for the occasion. I don't have to wear my suit. I don't have to wear a jackknife. But I'm saying like some way that shows that lemaisa I am prepared for this occasion. Ot amru rabbi saying zechron the bracha. Apostle, listen to this. Big day Esav b'nal hagadach mudos. So listen to this. Remember again the story with Yaakov and Esav, where Yaakov goes in to take the brachas. So what does Rivka do? She dresses Yaakov in Esav's big day Esav b'nal hagadach mudos. The nice clothing of Esav. Rabbi Shimon and Gamliel. Ani shimashti es abe begadim milchlochim. Aval Esav kishaya mishamish es aviv lohayu mishamish ela b'big day malchus. I will say, wow. Do you know what the nice clothing of Esav was reserved for? It was reserved for when he went to take care of his father. That's when he would put on his Shabbos clothing. Shabbos, he wasn't wearing Shabbos clothing, right? Esav Shabbos clothing, ultimately again, was for where he went ahead and took care of his father. It's incredible. Vehine, imkin lebasar, I will say, if Esav got dressed appropriately in order to take care of his father, then Allah has come and say, how I have to come dressed when ultimately again I come to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ro'i hu sheyilbash big day covered the yeshiv lefanav kamishi yoshev ve'melech gadol. I have to wear appropriate clothing and sit before my king, or sit before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like one would sit before a great king. Rabbi, by the way, what a powerful Musa. What a powerful Musa. If Esav got dressed up to serve his mortal father, then Rabbi say, how much we have to make sure that we are dressed appropriately. Again, whatever appropriate means. Right, we are dressed appropriately, but we know each of us knows for ourselves what's appropriately. Right, we have to be dressed appropriately in order to come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. Is that it for
you?
One more, good. V'hine, bechlal zeh, yesh kibar HaShavos Yom Tovim. Let's listen to this. Included in this is covered Shabbos and Yom Tov, displaying proper honor to Shabbos and Yom Tov. Shekol ha-marbe v'chabdom, v'aday osa nachas ruach li'osro. It will say, because whoever honors the Shabbos appropriately gives incredible nachos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shekin sivanu v'chibadito. The pasuk says, you shall honor the Shabbos. Now that we know that honoring the Shabbos is a mitzvah, there are many different types of kibud, many different types of honor. So I will say, but rather, what do we see? That halacha l'maisa, any type of honor that we could give to Shabbos, ultimately we're obligated to do so. Now I will say, we'll stop over there for today, but Lamaisa, again, we're going to see that honor we give to Shabbos is not an honor to Shabbos. I mean, it is an honor to Shabbos. But ultimately, who am I really honoring? He who gave me Shabbos, Aliyah Kadosh Baruch. So let's say, what's really nice about this now is we understand what the Ramchal did over here, something he doesn't do in every single piece, which is, he gave us a concept. The concept is to become a chassid, Remember again, this is in the second part of Chassidus, of Ofen Ha'asiyah, the manner in which we perform mitzvot. So now we're discussing that it's important to perform mitzvot with a sense of kavod, a sense of honor. How does one perform mitzvot with a sense of honor? So now one way we're looking at is hidr mitzvah, beautification of the mitzvah itself. And understand, when I beautify the mitzvah in that way, ultimately I'm giving additional kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So tomorrow we'll pick up with the sugya of Kavod Shabbos. All right, Shkoyach.